You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 15. This actually is what I preached in the prison. I thought this would be good for you too. Not that I'm making any kind of comparison there. I just want you to know that people in prison need the same thing we need out of prison. Amen. You know, in fact, I heard this the other day. One guy, one of the speakers, said this at the conference, and it was so good. A lot of times prisoners, when they get in prisons, we call it jailhouse religion, but some of them are genuine. They really get saved. Sad to say, they're not all genuine. But a lot of them will say, well, if I can serve God in prison, I can serve God in the world. Well, actually, that's not true. You can actually serve God easier in prison than you can in the world for a couple of reasons. In prison, you can't rob a bank. Are you with me? In prison, you can't speed in a car. In prison, because you are a convict, because you are convicted, there's a lot of liberties that you have are taken away. When you get out of prison, you have all these liberties again. And just like prison, one of the things that keeps you straight in prison is your conviction legally. You know what keeps you straight out of prison? Is your conviction. Oh, that went over real big. I can tell y'all got that. But if I'm convicted about things, I won't do things. Isn't that right? And so to say it's easier to serve God in prison it's harder to serve God in prison than it is out of prison. A lot of prisoners say that. They'll say, well, when I get out of it, it'll be a breeze. I mean, because if you can serve God in prison, you surely can serve God out of prison. No, actually, it's easier in one sense because you can't do a lot of the things in prison that you get away with out here you can do out here. And the only thing that keeps us from doing those things that put those guys in that prison, those guys and gals in prison, was our conviction. And it's an interesting thing. If you don't live by conviction, you will get convicted. Hello. And then you will be a convict and you will be convicted and those liberties won't be there anymore, okay? So a lot of the good stuff that's okay to do, they can't do, but a lot of the bad stuff, they can't do either. See? Because they just can't do those kinds of things. I've seen a lot of guys get out of prison. Man, they're all turned on in prison, writing letters about Jesus and reading their Bible every day, and they don't even make the first church service and they get out. I mean, it's sad, but I mean, you know, that's the case. I mean, it shouldn't be that way. There are some that really do get, you know, do get right and so on and so forth. I'm not saying they don't get right when they're in there, but they fail to see that this liberty that you and I have as Christians, well, you know, you need to use wisdom with that liberty. Paul said, all things are lawful and all things not expedient. Everything's not profitable. I am a Christian. I'm saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not one good thing I can do to add to that, but that doesn't mean I have a license to go sin. Come on. I have power over sin. I wasn't just redeemed from the penalty of my sin. The Bible doesn't say that they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save them from the penalty of their sins. He said they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save them from their sins. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. I found out not only am I forgiven for hating, forgiven for hurting people, I'm empowered not to hate. I'm empowered to forgive where I couldn't forgive. That takes effort. I got to work on it. Are you with me? But I got power over sin. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Okay. Luke 15. Found it? This whole chapter, really, when you think about it, and I'm not going to preach the whole chapter verse by verse. I will in a nutshell. But this whole chapter really is about our attitude toward lost people as a church. And then, of course, there's a lot of teaching in there for people that are lost to get saved and people that are out of the will of God and just backslid and need to get right. But what spurred all these stories, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son. The prodigal son is the one I really taught on in the prison. What spurred all this was the Pharisees' reaction, the church's reaction to the people that Jesus hung around with, you know. I get tickled at church because they'll say, well, we don't want this riffraff in there. We don't want these kind of people in there. Well, what kind of people were you before you got saved? If somebody gets saved, I don't care. You know, hey, I'm loud and clear, okay? I believe that homosexuality is a sin, but we do not hate homosexuals. if they will get saved and come to Jesus, we'll take them right here. I believe adultery is a sin. I'm not going to pull any punches and whitewash that and make it sound like you go on, live where you want, do that. God loves you. Well, God loves everybody, but he hates adultery, and he hates homosexuality. He doesn't hate the homosexual. He doesn't hate the adulterer. In fact, if they'll turn at any point, they'll turn, he'll receive them, and we, the church, need to receive people, regardless of their past, if they'll come to Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. We've got to be clear about that, see? I believe living together is a sin. I believe people living together need to get married. I do. But I don't hate people that are living together. I believe abortion is a sin. I believe it's a murder. I believe it's taking a child's life. But if you had an abortion, we do not hate you. If you'll repent and come to Jesus, come on. I've got no stones to throw. We all have skeletons in our closet, and every one of us at one point were lost, and now we're saved. So we got to be clear about what we're against. We're not against people. You know, God even says he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, and that was the Old Testament. He took no pleasure in the death of the wicked. We don't want people to go down that road. I love you too much to stand up here and not talk about what sin will do to you. I love you too much to tell you I hate you. I don't hate you. I don't hate anybody. I don't hate me. I hate what I do sometimes. You say, well, how can you love somebody and hate what they do? You do it to yourself all the time. Oh, come on. You don't like what you do sometimes, but you don't hate yourself. You don't quit talking to yourself, do you? Hello. Well, so we got to be clear what it is we're about. We're the church, okay? We're the church. We love people. And so we love people to live right. We love people to love each other. We love people to forgive each other. We want people to forgive each other. We want, you know, Martin Luther King said this. We're hearing all this civil rights stuff. They need to go back and read some of Martin Luther King, because evidently they've forgotten some things he said. He said, I choose to love. Hate is just too big a burden to bear. It is. It's too big a burden. Why did I tell you not to hate? Why does God say not to hate? Because it'll eat you alive. That's why. Because God loves you too much to allow you to go out that way without him warning you and saying, look, if you're going to go that way, you can do that if you want to, but there are penalties. There are consequences to that. And it's not even God judging you. You know, we often say, you know, that we go do something wrong and God gets us and God judges us. No, it doesn't. Our sin judges us. I mean, God told us if we did that, what would happen. It wasn't God judging us. It was our sin judging us. It's built into the sin. Now, there's a day of judgment. It's coming. I agree. But most of what we get judged for is it's built into what we do. You know, I told those guys in the prison, God didn't put you in here. Society didn't put you in here. You put yourself in here. But that's good news when you think about it, because if you are the problem, if you are the reason, you can change you, and you can get out of here and not get back in here. But if you're going to blame society, and you're going to blame circumstances, and you're going to blame your mama and your papa, and you're going to blame the government, and you're going to blame everybody else but you, then as soon as you get out here, you're going to get back in to all those circumstances and all that society again, and they will put you back in again. But if it was you that made the choice to hang out with who you hung around with, if it was you that made the choice to go steal whatever it is you stole, did whatever you did, if it was you that did it, not your mama, not your papa, then you can change you. Thank you for your enthusiasm. That old Pogo cartoon, what was it? We have found the enemy, and he is us. Well, I got good news. If you take responsibility for your actions, I love that word, responsibility, then you will be able to respond next time. But if you are forever a victim, you'll never get out of this mess.
Amen.
You're in. I'm here to tell you, you're a victor, not a victim. You're a victor in Christ. You have got the victory in Christ. You need to wake up who you are. See, the devil wants to lie to you. He wants to run over you. He wants to bamboozle you. And he has. He's done it. We bought the lie. We can't get out of this mess. There's nothing we can do about it. That's a lie. You can do something about it. You can believe God. You can trust God. You can turn this thing around. You can call on him. And whosoever calls upon me, the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
The Bible says, call unto me and I'll answer you. And I'll show you great and mighty things which you know not.
Amen.
Oh, I love it. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I'll give you rest. Praise God. So, Jesus was hanging around these people that the church didn't like. At that time, the Pharisees, that was the synagogue. And it speaks to our attitude toward lost people, and our attitude toward what God's attitude is toward them, and what God's attitude is toward us. You know, when we think we're better than everybody else, we're not better than anybody. We're A-rate and they're B-rate. No, we're saved and they're lost. They just need to get saved, you know. Or we're saved and they're just out of the will of God. They just need to get in the will of God. There, but for the grace of God, go I. What is our attitude toward sinners who get saved? That's a good question, because people come into church that don't look like us. And I'm thinking, thank God. But anyway, in some cases. They're not the same height. They're not the same color. They don't wear the same clothes. They don't like the same music. Or they're not the same age. You know, there shouldn't be a church that is a white church or a black church, or there shouldn't be a church that's an older church or a younger church. And really, even thank God for cowboy churches and all that, but because they're reaching people. I'm pro-church. Don't twist what I'm saying. But the church is beyond all borders. It's beyond all walls. The church includes everybody, young and old. Black and white, Hispanic, and every different color, every different back. People come out of drugs. People never did drugs in their life. Are you with me? You ride up on a motorcycle or a horse? I don't care. Just come on in. Take your hat off before you come in. Come on. We're in Texas. You know better than wear that hat when you come in church. But are you out there? We had Western night one night at the conference, the missions conference. The Tuesday night, they always have a fun night where all the missionaries get together, and we sing and worship and pray for the missionaries, and they'll have a theme, you know, different themes every year. And this year is Western night, and Pastor Jerry called me and says, it's going to be Western night. And I said, well, I just have to pick out which pair of boots I want to bring, because I got all kinds of boots. I just dress like me, you know. In fact, one year they had all nations, and you dressed up as a nation. Well, I dressed up as Texas. I figured that was a good nation to dress up as. Are you with me? But I noticed there was Western night, and everybody had their hats on, you know, and I was just a little, I was thinking, man, I just felt a little funny, you know, in church. And I wasn't getting on to anybody at all. I just mentioned to Jerry, I said, Jerry, you know, in Texas, because they're from Michigan, they don't know any better. God bless them. God bless Michigan. I'm not against Michigan. I said, Pastor Jerry, and Jerry's a good friend of mine. I mean, I have the liberty to do that. I said, in Texas, you know, it's not just religious. It's just a matter of respect, you know, especially even in the house. If we're praying, hats off. I've told my grandkids, all of them, you know, they come in from outside with their caps on, and we're eating at Mimi's because Mimi's their favorite cook, you know. And they'll gather around the table, they got those caps on. I said, boys, caps off, it's time to pray. Boy, here they go, caps off, you know. I mean, that's just a matter of respect, we do that. And I told them, I said, we don't wear caps when we pray. I didn't say we don't even do it in church, because there's no way, there's too many of them, had them on there, and I got tickled. They look more like farmers than cowboys, the hats they had on. But anyway, hallelujah, respect, amen. Just have respect. But people come in with all different walks of life, and you know, we just got to be open to loving people. Jesus died for everybody. Jesus pretty well solved the Black Lives Matter movement. With Jesus, all lives matter. He died for everybody. And black lives do matter. And white lives matter. Are you with me? Brown lives matter and blue lives matter. Everybody matters. Everybody matters. There's no class above another in God's eyes. We're neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, bond nor free. We're all one in Christ Jesus. He is made of one blood, all nations. He has joined us all together. Praise God. Aren't you glad that we're family, that we belong? We're not here to compete with each other. I don't have to prove anything to you. You don't have to prove a thing to me. You know, we're not here to gain each other's approval. No, man, we're family. I mean, when I go to family reunion, I'm not trying to fit in. I am family. Well, church is that way. Do you believe? Well, if you believe, you belong. Now, if you believe, you belong. If you belong, you behave. Remember who you are. That's what my daddy used to always tell me, you know. Remember who you are. So I behave because I belong. I don't behave to belong. I behave because I belong. And I belong because I believe. Yeah. That's good stuff. Amen. Yeah. So, not having even got to the first verse in 15th chapter of Luke, he's addressing that, and he uses three stories about our attitude toward people that come in, because these Pharisees were upset. Look at the first verse. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners to hear him. I mean, it doesn't get any worse than tax collectors and sinners. That's what they were. God bless tax collectors. but they drew near to him. If what we're preaching is the truth and we're preaching the love of God, listen, people that are all messed up are going to come to us because they'll find out they can come out of that mess. They'll find out there's hope. Hallelujah. That's what this food bank's all about. It's not about the food. Food's just bait. It's just bait to get people in there so we can pray for them. What we get excited about is when somebody gets saved out there or somebody gets their life back together or filled with the Holy Ghost or gets healed. Or we have people that actually come. I think it was a couple weeks ago, an inspector came from Tyler because they did an on-site inspection. And there was some lady in there saying something about, I didn't come for the food. I just came for prayer.
Amen.
We got people just want to be prayed for that show up because they know Mo's not here. I keep pointing. He's right there. That's where he sits, right there. But Mo prays for those people, and they get hope. We're dealers in hope. That's what we are. We give hope. Praise God. So it says they all drew near to him, and publicans and sinners. Second verse. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured and said, this man receives sinners. Well, my goodness, who else are you going to receive? Hello, anybody out here never sinned? I don't know anybody that had never sinned. Now, I know I'm a saint now, not a sinner, but I was a sinner before I was a saint. And now I am a saint who has sinned. And every sinner has a future. And every saint has a past. And he said he received his sinners and he eats with them. Oh, my goodness. And he spoke this parable to them. And that's when he talked about the lost sheep. And I won't go over it, but you can read it. And then he talked about the lost coin. And what it boiled down to is if you had 100 sheep and one of them got off and got lost, you would leave the 99 and go find that one was lost. You don't go looking for those that are still there. You look for the ones that aren't there. Amen? And then if you had 10 coins or however many coins it was, and you lost a coin, what would you do? Would you just hold on and look at and salivate over all the coins you have, or will you be looking around for the coin that's lost? You'd go look for the coin that's lost. And when you found that sheep that was lost and brought them back, everybody'd be happy and rejoice. Oh, wow, you found your sheep. Praise God. Awesome. We've been praying for that. And you found that coin was lost, everybody's rejoicing. The attitude towards something lost being saved should be joy, not looking down on people. How dare they come to our church? How dare they join us? Or so. No, our attitude ought to be praise God. They got right with God. There goes the devil lost another one. Hallelujah. And God has gained another one. Praise God. Woo, I got another one in the family. We just got another child in the family. That should be the attitude. We gained that sheep we lost. We restored that sheep. We restored that coin that was gone. That should be our attitude. And he's telling this parable because of their attitude toward the lost that had gotten saved. And then he talks about this one we're all familiar with, the prodigal son. 15th chapter, the 11th verse. This was the lost son. He even goes as far to say that, in making the point with the lost sheep and the lost coins, he said, don't you know that in heaven the angels rejoice over one sinner that's saved?
Amen.
There's rejoicing in heaven. The attitude of heaven is rejoicing. The attitude of the church sometimes is, what's that riffraff doing coming in this church? Hello. We got to watch that. We don't need to pick up that attitude. That's the Pharisees' attitude. That's religious attitude. We're not a religion. We're a family. I have never had another grandchild and thought, oh, no, here comes another one. Man, I'm at the point of tears holding that new baby. Oh, man, we got another one. Oh, 19. Number 19. <Yeah. laughs> No, I mean, I'm just rejoicing. I think they're just the greatest. And post pictures on Facebook. Got another grandbaby. Woohoo. Because we got somebody in the family. Got somebody else in the family. That's their attitude. Amen. And he says, a certain man had two sons. 15th chapter 11 verse. Certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me, and divided, and he divided it into him his living. In other words, he had an inheritance. He didn't wait till his parents died. He told his daddy, I want my money right now. So that would be just a little greedy, wouldn't you say? And not right. This guy was not right. This is a bad guy. And a terrible thing to do to parents. Terrible son. How dare he? Sinful. Maybe you've had those experiences. Maybe you've been those kind of people. I don't know. But there's hope. There's hope for all of us. Don't ever give up on people, especially your kids. Amen? And he did. He divided it to him. It says, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. In other words, he just lost it all. In other words, the further he got away from his father, the less his value was. You know, that speaks volumes to us. The further away you are from God, the less value you have. The closer you get to God, the more your value goes up. Amen? Think about it. You're worth a whole lot more close to God than you are away from God. Your value is, you're not who you should be. You're not doing what you should be, and you're not helping society like you should help it if you're away from God. Your value is really low. But the closer you get to God, the more your value goes up. Man, that's pretty good stuff. Better preaching y'all are amen. Anytime you get away from God, you'll wind up wasting your substance too, because you don't have his anointing. You don't have his wisdom. You don't have his direction. And you use and abuse and misuse, you know. But God will help you. God will give you wisdom if you'll stay close to him. So he lost everything getting away from God. If you want to prosper, you need to stay as close to God as possible. Prosperity is not about going after money. It's about going after God. But if you'll go after God, money will come. I didn't say that. God said that. Seek ye first kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. And he's talking about food and clothing. He's talking about substance. Amen? I'm sorry to tell you God wants to prosper. If that makes you mad, I'm sorry. But I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. If you want to go under, you came to the wrong church. If you want to go over, you came to the right church. If you want to get better, this is the place to be. And if you want to get beat down and beat on and find out how worthless and no good you are, well, I'm sorry, this is not that church. We preach the gospel here. We preach that God is good and God loves you and he's for you, not against you. Hallelujah. So he went and wasted all of his substance. 14th verse says, and when he had spent everything, there arose a great famine, insult to injury. Come on, man, out of the frying pan into the fire. I mean, he's already losing everything, and now a famine hits the land, and he began to be in want. He went from bad to worse. Another result from being far away from his father, just like we sometimes can distance ourselves from God, and our value decreases. And it's not always monetarily. Sometimes it's other ways. Some people have a lot of money and are miserable. They'd give it all away to have the peace you have and I have. Some people are not in prison that are in prison. And some people in prison are free as a bird. It's not about where you are physically. It's where you are spiritually. Amen? So again, a result from being far from the Father. He was in want. And then it just got worse. 15th verse, he went and joined himself to the citizens of that country. And they sent him into the fields to feed swine. Well, now he's making poor choices. Now he's hanging around these very people that are far away from God, which is what we often do. You know, we get out of church and we need fellowship. It's a hunger. It's a desire. It's in all of us. And God planted it there. But the problem is, if you don't seek out good fellowship, you will seek out bad fellowship. You will. That's why Psalms 1 says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, nor stands in the way of the sinner. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. Amen. Hallelujah. And that was fellowship. See, that was two fellows in the same ship. Amen? Going the same direction. Oh, how wonderful, beautiful it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Man, we get together and get in unity. We're a force to be reckoned with. One to chase 1,000, two to put 10,000 to flight. You need me, I need you. Hallelujah. We need each other. God didn't call anybody to be a lone ranger. He called us together. He called us to serve together. See, even Lone Ranger had Tonto. So it says this, he just kept making mistakes, man. He just kept getting worse and taking advice from those people he was out there in sin with, joined himself to those citizens, and of course they didn't help him at all. In that case, often, you know, even when you work on a job, you know, you're in church around Christians, around believers, and you work on a job, there's a lot of ungodly people there. It can be that way. And boy, you get in trouble and you start taking advice from your fellow employees that don't even know the Lord. People get in more trouble that way. Well, I work with them. Well, you can't choose who you work with, and you ought to pray for them, minister to them. They're not bad people. I'm not saying that. But if they're not in church serving God, you don't need to be taking advice about your marriage. Hello. About your dreams and your future. You need to hang around Christians. You need to get in the Word of God. You need to find out what God says about that. Amen? But see, he not just went away from his father. He joined with other people, and then he took their advice, and of course, his life just got worse and worse. Friends are so, so important. Fellowship is so, so important. You must have Christian fellowship. You must have that peer pressure, that positive, you know, accountability that comes from, you know, I know I'm going to come to church here every week. I know that. So it keeps me straight. It really does. I mean, most of what I don't do that's probably lawful for me to do, I'm a Christian, I'm saved by grace, I got that. But there's a lot of things I don't do because I know I'm your pastor. Are you with me? I could probably do it. It's not going to take me to hell. Come on. You don't go to hell for drinking. You don't go to hell for smoking. You'll smell like you've been there, but I mean, those things will take you to hell. But, you know, they're not the best witness in the world. Stay with me. I'm not condemning anybody. Goodness gracious, I've got no stones to throw. But I think that you would feel better about me as your pastor if I didn't do that. You know, if I didn't cuss, especially what I preach, that would probably be a... Are you out there? And so I've never offended anybody by not cussing. I've never had anybody come to me and says, I'm just tired of you not cussing. You are offended. I got my wife with me. Would you please say a cuss word? No one's ever asked me that. I've never offended anybody but not cussing. Never, you know. Okay, just something to think about. But the reason is I know that if I know if I step in that bar and sit down, someone's going to walk in there and say, hey, aren't you Michael Williams, pastor? You know, the world's a small, small world. So that's I got you to think about, see. I've got my wife to think about. I've got my children to think about. I got my grandchildren to think about that are looking at their papa and wanting to be like their papa, you know. So I live a lot of things I do just live for them. I just live for them. I had a long talk, and I know I've told this over and over, with Trenton before we went in the Navy. Turned out I heard Ryan had the same conversation with him. Talked about being a man. You know, you're joining the Navy, Trenton, and it's a macho thing, you know, and I thank God you're serving our country. That's great. But that's not what a man stands up for Jesus. A man has a witness. Now, we're going to see what kind of man you are. I had that talk with him. You know, I said, you make your papa proud. You find some Christians. You hang around some Christians. You go to church, and you keep your Christian witness. And when this is all over, we'll find out what kind of man you are. And I believe you're that kind of man. I believe you will. I didn't tell him he couldn't. You know, and I was talking to Ryan. Ryan said he had basically the same conversation with him after he talked to him. But that's so important that I, as a pawpaw, Ryan as an uncle, are saying, hey, you want to grow up be a man? Real men serve Jesus. Amen. Real men pray. Real men live right and live holy. Yeah. And it takes a real man to do that. It takes a real woman to do that. Are you out there? So, well, I was proud to say that one of the letters he wrote back to his mama, to Cherry, we read it the other day, and he said, well, I got to go, second page. He said, I got to go. He said, we're getting ready to go to church. There's 23 of us guys in our division alone that are going to church every week. And he said, and we got five or six guys. We're going to start having a Bible study every two or three nights a week. He's already had one young guy come up to me, ask me to teach him how to read the Bible. Make your papa proud. And then he just graduated this last week, and they shipped him to, he was in Chicago, and they shipped him to Pensacola. He's a Navy man. He's a Jesus man. Hallelujah. Well, okay, I'm still preaching, right? Yeah. Okay. 16th verse. Yeah, I digress. Start talking about my kids and grandkids. It just gets worse. You get older, too. I don't know. And it said he would have fainted, 16th verse, had he not filled his belly with the husk that the pigs eat, the swine eat, the hogs eat. I was in prison Thursday night preaching. Okay, I've been in prison before, not preaching, but this time I was preaching. Okay, jail, not prison, jail. Yeah, I never went to prison. Anyway, it says the he ate what the hogs ate, And Jerry's going, up here we call them pigs. I didn't know that. Michigan calls them pigs. We call them hogs. And I told him, that's, well, those fat little four-legged creatures, you know what they are, pigs, hogs, whatever. He's eating what they eat. Man, this is bad stuff. And when he came to himself, I heard it said about this preacher, country preacher, he said, he lost his money, lost his friends, lost his all of his food, lost all of his clothes. And when he came to himself, there was nothing left but him, you know. But he started thinking, you know, and I mentioned that to the prisoners. I said, here you are, you've come to yourself now. You know you're the problem. You know, that's a good way to come out. That's a good way to start seeing clearly here now. We're starting to think clearly here. Let's do it. Let's come to Jesus and let's get right and let's start serving God. You're the problem, but you can turn the thing around. You can turn it around. So he started thinking, and he said in 17th verse, and he came to himself and said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with this hunger? What are you doing in a prison? Come on, man, the gate's open. You can come out of that prison. What are you doing letting sin run your life when Jesus gave you power over sin? What are you doing lying and living in depression when the joy of the Lord is your strength and in his presence is fullness of joy? Hallelujah. What are you putting up with all that pain and misery when by his stripes you have been healed? Hallelujah. Come on. Man, we got hope. We got healing. We got a cure. We got answers. His name is Jesus. Praise God. All you got to do is get to him, and you can get to him. I don't care if the house is full. You can take the roof off. I don't care if he's surrounded by a crowd. You can press through the crowd and grab his garment. I don't care if everybody tells you to be quiet. You can holler out even louder, and he'll hear you, and he'll say, come to me. Amen. They did it in the Bible. You can do it today. Hallelujah. And he started thinking about getting back to his father. Even in sin, I love this. Even in sin, he knew God loved him. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, we got to have this attitude toward lost people. Are you with me? I hate what they do, but I don't hate them. And there's hope for people, everybody. Aren't you glad? Even in sin, he knew his father would take him back. Well, he had a clear picture of his father. I think we as the church are guilty of not giving a clear picture of God. And we make God out as some moral governor of the universe, like a policeman that's passing out tickets on every infraction every time we do something wrong. God's not just the moral governor. God's not just the policeman, as it were. He's a whole lot more than that. God is the lover of our soul. Yes. God is the one that so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. God is crazy about us. God loves us. You need to get that in your head. I need to get through my thick head that God loves me. I'm making deals and trying to con God into doing something all this time. God wants to do it more than I want him to do it. He wants to heal me more than I want to be healed. He wants to give me joy more than I want to get it. He is my daddy. Better than any daddy I ever had or you ever had. And I know how to give good gifts to my children. How much more shall my Heavenly Father give good things to them that love him? I remember telling those prisoners, I said, and I've said it here many times, you'll recognize it. I said, guys, let me tell you something. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. He loves you. Doesn't hate you. Doesn't like what you did. You don't like what you did, but he loves you. He's for you. He's not against you. Aren't you glad? You ever sinned? You ever messed up? Two of you? Okay. I will be given an invitation here at the end here, so. Woo. But anyway, he said, 19th verse, I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Just make me one of your hired servants. He's thinking, you know, he rose and he came to his father. Thank God. First intelligent thing he did since he left. He arose and he came to his father, and that's what you need to do. Oh, I can't go to church. I've done this and I've done this and I've done that. Oh, no, man, church is where you need to go. You're running from God. You need to be running to God. That's just the devil trying to keep you under condemnation. God doesn't condemn you. There's a difference between conviction and condemnation. I get convicted by sin, but I know God loves me and he's for me. Condemnation is when I believe there's no hope for me and I'm worthless and I'm no good. No, I have value because God said I did. My soul is worth the whole world. Jesus said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So God puts more value on your soul than he does the whole world. It's not about the buildings. It's not about the lights. It's not about the carpet. It's about you. God's in the people business. You were always on his mind, always. There's a song that says that when he was on the cross, I was on his mind, and you were. Anyway, he arose and he came to his father, 20th verse, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Now I wonder how his father saw him a great way off. His father's looking for him, just like he's looking for us. He's just a-looking, hoping we'd turn. Every breath, every move, he's looking. He's looking. Oh, this might be it. Will he turn now? Will he turn now? Will he turn now? And you could just see his, I can just got a picture of his face, you know. He's looking. He's looking. Will he turn now? And when you do turn, whew, his arms go out. A smile comes on his face, twinkle in his eye. That's what he'd been waiting on all this time. He doesn't hate you. God sends no one to hell. You go to hell on your own. You go to hell all by yourself. God loves you. Amen. So it says here, wow. It says his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Wow. He didn't just say, oh, there he is. Man, here he comes running. We got off the plane when we came back from Detroit Friday night, late Friday night in DFW. And there was, I don't know whether it was, I don't know what the group was. It was a bunch of young kids, you know, teenagers. You know, they're young. Everybody gets younger, older I get. But they were young. I suppose they were teenagers. They might have been 30, but I thought they looked like teenagers to me. And we were coming through the airport secure area into the baggage claim. You know, the doors open, you come out, and we come out. I come out with, you know, just, you know, my carry-on, and Brennan was with me. And, man, this girl shot beside me, screaming, running out that door, and jumped and grabbed another girl that was coming in the other way. Turned out it was her sister. And they were just screaming and giggling like little girls. Because, oh, several of them, yeah. And then they were just, I'm just going like this. Because their people are waiting on them, you know. And they just locked arms and just, oh, God, crying, you know, for joy. You know, because they've been apart for a week, probably gone 2 days, but I don't know. They might have been gone a week or two, I don't know. But I think that's the idea. We have the wrong idea about God. We just kind of think he's just solemn, you know, and somber. And there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that's saved. And God loves your fellowship. He loves you. God used to come walk with Adam in the cool of the evening every day and talk with him, walk with him, and fellowship with him till Adam sinned and brought death and sin into this world. That sure wasn't God's plan, and it wasn't his fault. Didn't catch him by surprise. He made allowance for it. But the devil did that, and Adam did that, not God. By one man sinning into the world, and then death by sin, and death passed upon all men. It didn't say by God sin came into the world. It didn't say by God death came into the world. Death is the last enemy to be put underfoot. Are you with me? And he that had the power of death was the devil. That's what the scripture said. Jesus, through death, destroyed him who had the power of death, that is the devil. And deliver us who, through all of our lifetime, were subject to bondage through fear of death. Hallelujah. Now we don't have to fear death. Now we go to heaven. Uh-huh. Hallelujah. We used to go down waiting for Jesus. Now we go up. Oh, but I digress. 20th verse, he arose, came to his father. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto the father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight and no more worthy to be called thy son. He took full responsibility for his actions and his sin. He didn't blame anybody. He didn't say it was the lure of the world. He didn't say, you know, like David didn't say it was that woman, Bathsheba. He said, I have sinned. David took ownership. He took ownership. You need to take ownership. When you do, you're on your way to recovery. Hallelujah. You can come out of it. Now you can come to Jesus and get help. And he told him, he said, I've sinned. But the father said to the servants, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. See, barefooted, he was just impoverished. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. In other words, let's throw a party. Rejoicing. There's rejoicing when that sheep was found. There was rejoicing when that coin was found. There was rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that was lost. In both those cases. Now this prodigal son's come back. These Pharisees are all upset about these publicans and sinners that are getting saved and coming to Jesus. They ought to be rejoicing. Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody got saved and got right. Amen. Amen? For this my son, 24th verse, was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now he's found. And they began to be merry. That's the attitude. And he goes on a little further and he says this. Now his elder brother, that's the Pharisees, the ones that have been there, the religious ones, okay. He said his elder brother was in the field and he came and drew near to the house and heard the music and the dancing. What are they doing having all that? You know, a lot of people don't think you're supposed to have fun in church. You know that? They act like you're just supposed to be quiet. We're in church. Now, I understand there's a time to be quiet, but this is a time of rejoicing. Shout, the Bible says. The Bible says, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. All through the Bible, there was rejoicing, loud rejoicing. When the woman that was bent over 18 years, Jesus said, woman, thou art loose from thy infirmity, Luke 13. When she was healed, she shouted with a loud voice. Loud voice. The man that was healed in Acts, the third chapter, Peter and John said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. It says he leaped and he shouted. Woo! You need to get old Pentecost churches, you know, they used to say, those ladies would come in there and they'd say, I got my shouting shoes on. I came to shout. Woo! And they didn't go to church. I come to church. They even said it different, you know. Oh, we had church last night. I had my shouting shoes on last night. We shouted and had church. I like it. I love it. We need more of it. Amen. We need some excitement. Come on, your sports team win, whatever. We get all excited about all kinds of things. We need to get excited about Jesus. Come on. Hallelujah. Well, that's what they did. They got excited. They threw a party. That was God's attitude. Well, it's about time, you old dirty rotten sinner, you came to me. You hate your mama, you hate your papa, you've never done a good thing in your life, but I love you. No, they had a party. They just, man, they're just excited. Now, the religious people, like the elder son, was upset. 26th verse, he called one of the servants, and he asked, what do these things mean? What's all this shouting and excitement going on? And they said to him, your brother's come and your father's killed the fatted calf because he's received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Wouldn't be a part of that riffraff. Not going to a church like that where they all act like they're happy. Hello. He was angry, would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him and said, he said to his father, he says, lo, these many years I serve you. I haven't sinned at any time. I'm better than that son you just took in. I've kept your commandments. You never threw a party for me, made merry with my friends. But as soon as this son, not his brother, as soon as this son was come, which has devoured your living with harlots, you killed the fatted calf. And he said, son, you are ever with me. All I have is yours. In other words, you could have asked any time. Amen. All you had to do is ask. We could have had a party any time. You've been serving me. All messed up, look like you've been baptized in persimmon juice, and it's your fault. Wow. And he said it's proper. 32nd verse. It's just proper that we should make merry and be glad, for this brother was dead, and he's alive again. He was lost, and he's found. That should be our attitude. Everybody gets right with God. I don't care what you've done or where you've been. If you will get right with God, come on, we'll take you in. We're not against you. We're against what you're doing, not what you. I always say this too. There's only two people that were upset about this man coming back to God. His elder brother and the fatted calf. Amen. So that speaks, that whole chapter really just speaks to our attitude toward people that are, you know, that come into the church from all different backgrounds and all different races and so on and so forth. And it speaks to us when we get in sin to come back to God. Come back to God. God's a good God. He loves us. He's for us. He's not against us. He has our best interest in mind. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. Stand up with us if you would. Praise God. Hallelujah. That help you? How many of you are right with God? You love Jesus. Not ashamed of it. Put your hand up high. Isn't it great to be saved? Praise God. You know, I think it's everybody in here. But let me say this. If you're here and you're not right, get right. Come on. Just get right. I don't have to ask you to come down front. I could do that. But you need to get right with God. You need to come to God. Quit beating yourself over the head. Quit shooting yourself in the foot, all right? You point that gun somewhere else. You want to point it somewhere, point it at the devil. God's for you. Amen. So you sin. Repent. Just turn around. That's what it means. Turn around.